Turn with me, if you would, to Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9. I just ask our brother to read Luke's account of this, and as you heard him read, our Lord right here just finished telling a group of religious Pharisees that he did not come into this world to save people who considered themselves to be in their own flesh righteous before God. Perfect before God, acceptable before God, based on what they saw in themselves. He said, I did not come to save those who say and believe in their heart that they are right with God. And you will hear that a lot. People believe that a lot. Based on the flesh, based on this flesh, based on what I do, what I say, what I think, how I live, a lot of times people will say, I'm right with God. He or she is right with God. Well, our Lord said to a whole bunch of religious people, I did not come into this world to call, that means to save, those who believe when they look at themselves in their bodies, I am right with God. Based on what I see right here, I am righteous before God. He said, that's not who I came to save. I came to save those who see themselves in the flesh that they live in to be sinners. Sinners before God. Based on what I see right here in myself, I'm wretched before God. I say that. I believe that in my heart. I'm a vile, ruined sinner before God. I ruined it. Based on what I see in myself, I ruined it. I just ruined it. He said, that's who I came to save. That's exactly who I came to save. Now, that's what we looked at last Sunday. And understanding that will cause us to understand what he's saying for our text today. All right? Let's read verses 14 to 17 together. Matthew chapter 9, verse 14. Then came to him the disciples of John, saying, why do we and the Pharisees fast oft, but thy disciples fast not? And Jesus said unto them, can the children of the bride chamber mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken from them, and then shall they fast. No man putteth a piece of new cloth unto an old garment, for that which is put in to fill it up taketh from the garment, and the rent is made worse. Neither do men put new wine into old bottles, else the bottles break, and the wine runneth out, and the bottles perish, but they put new wine into new bottles, and both are preserved. These disciples of John, and all that the word disciple means is a follower of somebody. If you ever wonder, why did John have disciples? Well, you had people who followed him, listened to him, heard him, learned from him. That's what a disciple is. But these disciples of John took it upon themselves to fast on a regular basis, not eat food on a regular basis. And the Pharisees fasted on a regular basis. Fasting was a sign of mourning. It was if a person or if a group of people or if a whole nation was sad or distressed, if they were in fear, in need, sometimes they would have a fast. You know, the king, the ruler, the whoever would declare a fast. And what it was is let's take a moment to deny ourselves and deny everything and wait on the Lord and look to the Lord. We need help. We need help. So that's what fasting was. And it was something that the Lord's people did in their moments of need. But the Pharisees and the rulers of false religion, they took something that was from the heart and they made a ritual out of it. All right, this is something that God's people were doing from the heart. I want to deny myself and wait on you. I'm going to wait until you fill me with your spirit and your will. All right, so the Pharisees took something that was from the heart and they made a religious ritual out of it. In the account, we mentioned it a couple of times recently, in the account of the Pharisee and the publican in the temple, there in Luke 18. The Pharisee said, the religious Pharisee said in pride, and he said in self-righteousness, boasting of himself and what he saw to be as goodness in his own flesh. He saw his flesh to be good and right before God. And this is what he said. He said, I fast 2 times every week. So these disciples of John, they came up to the Lord and they said, we fast. And the Pharisees fast. But your disciples, those who follow you and look to you and listen to you and believe on you, they don't fast. And they wanted to know, why not? And the Lord answered them and he said, well, for one, it's because they're not sad. They're with me. He said, I'm the bridegroom. That's what John the Baptist said. And as a little side note, all those disciples of John, you know what John told them? Behold the Lamb. Follow him. And it says all the disciples of John left John and they followed him. John said, he's the bridegroom. I'm just the friend of the bridegroom who finds all my joy and rejoicing in standing next to him and just listening to him. So the Lord said, I'm the bridegroom. And he said, can the children of the bridegroom be sad as long as they're with the bridegroom? But speaking of the cross that he would bear for his people, he came here for one reason only. For this cause came I into the world, to endure the cross. Speaking of the cross, speaking of the death that he would die to put away the sin of all of his chosen people. Speaking of the resurrection and the ascension back to the Father, that he would go to prepare a place for his people. He said, there will come a time when they will be sad. When I leave them, sorrow will fill their hearts, and they will be sad again, and they will fast. But he said, to truly answer your question, they wanted to know, why don't we all fast? Why don't they? He said, to truly answer your question, it's for this reason right here. Verse 16. No man putteth a piece of new cloth into an old garment, for that which is put in to fill it up taketh from the garment, and the rent is made worse. Neither do men put new wine into old bottles, else the bottles break, and the wine runneth out, and the bottles perish. But they put new wine into new bottles, and both are preserved. He said, that's the reason why. They came to him wanting to know why. He said, that's the reason why. Now, 3 weeks ago, our brother Darvin Pruitt preached to us from this very account. I don't know if you remember that or not. But the Lord very much blessed that message to my heart. The Lord revealed something to me, caused me to see something more clearly than I've ever seen it before. And I want to just repeat it to you. By the grace of God, all I want to do is just tell us what the Lord is saying right here. That's the whole point of this message. And I don't want to build up to it. I don't want to take the next, 17 minutes and build up to this. I want to tell you right now. I'm going to give you the whole point of the message right now. This is like the light bulb moment, okay? And then after I tell you this, we'll spend the rest of our time explaining it and building up to this moment. The disciples of John came to the Lord and they said, "We and the Pharisees observe and we obey this ritual." This, in their eyes, in their own eyes, religious practice of fasting. We're religious. And they said, "We're doing this to try to be obedient before God, and we're trying to be spiritual before God. It doesn't have anything to do with us being sad. It doesn't have anything to do with us being in need. We're doing it to obey this ritual of the law." But they said, "Your disciples don't do that." And what they're getting at is, this is what they're getting at. How can they be saved if they don't obey the ritual of the law? That's the same response that the Pharisee had when they saw the Lord's disciples pluck corn on the Sabbath day. You remember that? Look at it with me quickly. Matthew 12. Matthew chapter 12, verse 1. "At that time, Jesus went on the Sabbath day through the corn, and his disciples were an hungered and began to pluck the ears of corn and to eat. But when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto him, 'Behold, thy disciples do that which is not lawful to do upon the Sabbath day.' But he said unto them," the Lord said to them, "'Have you not read what David did when he was an hungered, and they that were with him? How he entered into the house of God and did eat the showbread, which was not lawful for him to eat, neither for them which were with him, but only for the priest. Or have you not read in the law how that on the Sabbath days the priest in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless?'" How can you be saved if you don't obey the law in your flesh? That's what they were getting at. How can a man be just with God if he does not obey the law in his flesh? And this is what the Lord told them, all right, in answer to their question. This is what he told them. He said, "Salvation does not come by the works of the law. It comes by the grace of God. It comes by the grace of God." This account is all about works and grace. It's all about law and grace. That's the punchline to the whole thing. They said, "Why are your disciples not obeying the law?" He said, "It's because salvation does not come by obeying the law. It comes by the free gift of the righteousness and blood of the Lord Jesus Christ." That's what he illustrated to them with clothes and wine. That's how he answered them. They said, why don't they do that? He said, clothes and wine. That's the whole reason. Clothes and wine. The garment represents the covering of his righteousness. This perfect, new, spotless, complete robe of righteousness. And the wine represents the perfect payment of his blood. Wine represents blood in the scripture. He bore the wine press. He answered them by saying, both of those things are of God. They are of God, the covering of righteousness and the payment of blood. Both of those things are of God alone. Salvation does not come by any work that man produces. Salvation is totally the work of God alone. Why don't they fast? Because salvation is totally the work of God alone. On you and in you. Clothes go on you. Wine goes in you. Salvation is of the Lord inside and out. Now, that's the punchline to the whole thing. Let's take just a minute. It won't be long. Let's take just a minute and let's see it in the scripture, prove it in the scripture. We'll build back up to it. All right, look with me, if you would, at Romans 3. The Apostle Paul is speaking of Jews and Gentiles here. And he says in verse 9, Romans 3, verse 9, what then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise. For we have before proved both Jews and Gentiles that they are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous. No, not one. Man thinks that he is obeying God's law, but he is not. He may be trying real hard on the outside, but he's not on the inside. He's not even trying on the inside. All men and women are sinners before God. Verse 19, Romans 3, verse 19. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law. Who's under the law? Everybody. We know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. You declare these things, man's sinfulness and God's holiness, and people say, now, wait a minute now, but, hold on, but. The law was given in the way that it was given so that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Verse 20, therefore, and let's see if the Lord will open our eyes to this. Verse 20, therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. What the law does for us is it does not justify us before God. And we'll go on to see why. But what it does is it exposes how much we break the law. That's the whole reason the law was given, to prove our sin to us. We read the law and we have to say, I don't do that. Verse 21, but now the righteousness of God. Romans 10 talks about, you know, Paul is talking about his sorrow in his heart that men and women have a zeal of God, but it's not according to knowledge because they're trying to establish their own righteousness and they haven't bowed to the righteousness of God Almighty, who is a person, Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. Verse 21, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested. God was manifested. Christ came. Being witnessed by the law and the prophets. The law witnessed Jesus Christ. The prophets witnessed Jesus Christ. Verse 22, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, for there's no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Verse 24 says, being justified freely by his grace. That means gift, his free gift. Through the redemption, that means the full payment. You go to the store and buy something, they will not let you walk out until you've paid the price in full. If it's $10 and you give them $5, you can't leave with it. You have not redeemed it. That's payment in full. Verse 24, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption, the full, total, complete payment that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say at this time, his righteousness that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Where is boasting then? It's excluded. By what law? Of works? Nope. By the law of faith. Watch verse 28. Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. That's clear, isn't it? Men and women are justified by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Where does faith come from? Not of yourself. That's the gift of God. We're his workmanship. Justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Look with me at Galatians chapter 3. Galatians 3 verse 10 says, for as many as are of the works of the law, meaning trying to be saved through obeying the works of the law, as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. Why? For it is written, cursed is every one that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. If you break one, it's damnation forever. If that's what you're clinging to, is the works of the law and the obedience of the law. If you break one, it's damnation forever. Verse 11 says, but that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident. For the just shall live by looking to the Lord Jesus Christ. What that's saying is, he is our life. That's how we live, by faith in him. Verse 12, and the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. If that's the bed we want to make, we'll have to sleep in it. Verse 13 says, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Being made a curse for us. Standing in our place. Laying our condition on himself. That's how men and women are justified before God. Look at verse 24 right here. Galatians 3 verse 24. It says, wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith is come, we're no longer under a schoolmaster. For you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Just by being given faith from God to look to the Lord Jesus Christ and his righteousness and his blood and his obedience before God alone, we've been made to be the children of God. Turn the page and look at Galatians 4, verse 21. It says, "Tell me, ye that desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law? Do you not hear the strict demands of God's holy justice in that law? Do we not see the absolute inability in our flesh to perform any part of God's unchanging, unforgiving law? In our flesh, we are so far from being what the law demands, we could never, never, in a satisfactory way to God, never dot one I of the law or just cross one T of the law. Never. There is no ability in us." And that's what the Lord told John's disciples. Go with me, if you would, back to Matthew 9. Verse 16 says, "No man putteth a piece of new cloth unto an old garment, for that which is put in to fill it up taketh from the garment, and the rent is made worse." Now, when we read that, this is where we naturally go wrong. All right? We hear what that says, and this is where we go wrong. We view that naturally. We view that, this old garment, as still in good condition. It's just out of date. Really, it's still good. What happened is I bumped up against some barbed wire and it tore it right there. Everything else on it is still good. I just have one little tear right there, and a patch will be fine. Patch will be fine. That's what man thinks about his sin. That's not what our Lord is describing right here. He's describing a garment that is so old, it's brittle. So worn thin. You've seen old flags and you've seen old cloth that is so worn thin, it's disintegrating. Its fibers are just absolutely, don't touch it, it's ruined. Just don't touch it, it's absolutely ruined. That is an accurate description of what sin has done to us. We have to view this with a correct view of what sin has done to us. And what he's saying is, if you try to sew a piece of cloth to that, the whole thing's going to just disintegrate. It's not going to work. Luke's account words it to say, and this is what was revealed to me. You talk about good. Luke's account words it to say, "No man cuts a piece of cloth out of a brand new garment and tries to patch up that old disintegrating." You got a brand spanking new, perfect, spotless. Nobody goes and gets a brand new garment and tries to cut a piece out of it to patch this old rotting, brittle, disintegrating robe that they're wearing. But do you know that's what men and women are trying to do with Christ's righteousness? They're just trying to cut bits and pieces of it and patch up the little holes that they think they have in their own robe of righteousness. And the Lord said, it's not going to work. It is just not going to work. Man does not want to put on the spotless perfect. He doesn't want to just wear the robe of Christ's righteousness. He wants to patch his own. And when that happens, man ruins everything. He ruins everything. And he's going to end up with no covering at all before God. That one is, he's now ruined that one for himself. And the one he has on is ruined. No covering at all. Verse 17, and I'll be quick. Verse 17, "Neither do men put new wine into old bottles, else the bottles break and the wine runneth out and the bottles perish. But they put new wine into new bottles and both are preserved." He said, you don't get, you know, wine bottles back then were leather bags and they find themselves in the same condition the garment was in. You don't go get a thrown out, brittled, you know, holes in it. You don't go get one of those to store new wine. It won't hold it, and it's going to break, and the wine is going to be gone, and both will be lost. Spiritually, here's what that means. You don't mix the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ with the flesh of man. You just don't do it. Everything will fall apart, and you're going to lose all claim to the blood. It must be the blood of Christ and the body of Christ. His body, His blood alone. You cannot mix His work with ours, and you cannot mix our work with His. Inside and out, it must be Him alone. And when it is Him alone, when a sinner receives faith to see that and to believe that, when that realization comes that in Christ, we're free from the law. You want to know when happiness comes to sinners? When they realize in Christ, we are free from the law. And it's such a happy condition. The Lord Jesus Christ bled, and there is remission. I was cursed by the law and bruised by the fall, but Jesus Christ redeemed me and all of my brethren in Him once, one time, once for all. He came here and He earned a perfect robe of righteousness and laid it on me and shed the precious blood of His own veins to pay the debt for me. And I'm free. He said, if you ever come to know the truth will make you free. It's a happy condition. It's such a happy condition. I'm going to close with this. Go to Isaiah 61. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, the God of the sinner for his help. Isaiah 61, verse 10. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. I'll greatly rejoice. My soul shall be joyful in my God. For he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with her jewels. For as the earth bringeth forth her bud, and as the garden causeth the things that are sown in it to spring forth, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all the nations. And he did. His name is Jesus Christ. Righteousness sprang forth. And all who he came to gather together with him, they're so happy. They say, the law came by Moses, but grace and truth came by the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God. Thank God for the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, Brother Eddie, you come.